I was charged with guarding the faith that had been passed on to me. And I ask you to do the same. Guard the faith that has been passed on to you, but not just merely guard it with your heart, but spread it far and wide. Don't let it be something secret that's stuck inside you, but let it seep out so that the people around you know who it is that you stand for, who it is that you believe in, who it is that guides your life. Let no one doubt where you belong to. For all of us that are past that point, this morning I want you to kind of put yourself back in their shoes. Remember where you were when you were their age. Some of you, like me, you were raised in the church and you found Jesus at an early age, and maybe you can recognize this moment as they are graduating and having to move forward with Jesus, kind of in some ways re-realize your faith now that you're going to be having new freedoms, new decisions to make. Some of you did not commit to Jesus until later in life, and you had to turn the ship around a little bit. But yet, we're all given the same charge here. Love God and love people. And it's so simple to say, it's so simple to remember, but it's so challenging. So I want you to put yourselves in their shoes as these kids begin to adventure into adulthood in today's culture. Because following Jesus while you're a child is very different once you become an adult. Once you become an adult, your time is limited, way more than it ever was. Full-time jobs enter the mix. School, full-time school enters the mix. That's also very different. Families come, kids eventually come, all of it. And you know what I'm talking about. Bills. And still making Jesus Lord of your life in the middle of those times, you have to set aside time in your schedule for the Savior. Intentionally. No one can do it for you as an adult. Your resources are limited. Talk about bills. Your knowledge is limited. You don't have the same kind of access in some ways that you did before. Your privacy these days is now so limited regarding the internet and smartphones and social media. In other countries, they'll track you where you are. Private companies today track you where you are. So that gets in the way. Our freedoms are increasingly limited. And see, this is why God designed the church the way that he did. Because we are a force in the community for Jesus and a family who exists to lift high the name of Jesus and bear the burdens of one another. Without each other, all of these pressures of life can get us and bring us down. But with each other, we can encourage each other and lift one another up in Jesus. And so these young adults now need our vigilant prayer and support as they pursue their life goals and their passions that God has given them. But most of all, they need the prayer to endure in the faith as they have been brought up, because our culture will stand in the way of their faith every day. And it's true for you too. The way our culture is moving, they are increasingly against the values that we stand for. They want to divide us. They want to end life, whether it be through abortion or euthanasia. Those things are coming through. Pedophilia, the pressures are coming down now to make pedophilia legal. Racism, they want to divide us by skin color. Think of that today and compare it to 10 years ago when I graduated. How about 10 years before that, where we were then? 10 years before that, and you can keep going. You can see on track for where our country is headed. And this is the culture, this is the world that these young adults are moving into. Sorry to be so negative, but it's reality. And if we don't have a kingdom mindset as a church, if you don't have a kingdom mindset as individuals, you are going to be like the seed that was snatched up by the birds or choked out by the weeds, as in the parable of the sower. So this morning, our text, if you'll stand with me, is in 2 Timothy chapter 2. And Paul here, he is in prison. He's not just in prison, but he is chained to the left wrist of a Roman soldier. And he is on his way to execution. He is not long for heaven. And what does he do? He decides to write to his dear friend, his apprentice, Timothy. And here's what he says in the second chapter. He says, "Timothy, you therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. What you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, commit to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Share in suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No one serving as a soldier gets entangled in the concerns of civilian life. He seeks to please the commanding officer. Also, if anyone competes as an athlete, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. The hardworking farmer ought to be the first to get a share of the crops. Consider what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything. Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, and descended from David according to my gospel, for which I suffer to the point of being bound like a criminal. But the word of God is not bound, and this is why I endure all things for the elect, so that they also may obtain salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. This saying is trustworthy, for if we died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself." Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word. Lord, please take this text and apply it to our hearts this morning. You would allow it to change us, and that we would allow it to change us, so that we might live and glorify your name. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. So Paul, he starts off and he charges Timothy to have an enduring strength. He says, "Timothy, my dear son, be strong through the grace that God gives you in Christ Jesus." Our strength is not powered by our own abilities. Sometimes we get to live in that way where we just are completely relying on the gifts that we have, and that's not a bad thing. Our gifts are given to us by God. But ultimately, we will fail if we're doing things in our own power. We do not have the strength on our own to withstand the things that are going on in our lives. We are not enough. That's the gospel. We do not have the strength. Our strength is not in who we know. It doesn't matter if you've got high connections somewhere or if you've got all the people in your life who have the know-how that you need. It is not enough. Our strength is also not in what we have. Not just the people that we know, but it's not enough in just the resources that we have. Our strength is only found in God's grace given to us by Jesus paying the penalty for our sins on the cross. Once you let that reality really sink into you as an adult, as a Christian, that will change you. As a kid, I heard that a lot growing up. I was like, well, at a certain point as a teenager, it's like, yeah, I've heard that a million times. Why do I have to hear it again? Yeah, Jesus died. Yeah, I get it. But the more life you live, the more you notice just how precious his life was in comparison to ours. What he gave up on your behalf, on my behalf. And he didn't have to do it. We didn't deserve it to happen. And once you really let that sink in, you allow that to just be a part of your life. Your identity is based in that. You will change. You do transform. You understand the world around you in a different way. And your burden for overcoming sin in your life shoots way up. And your burden for helping lost people find Jesus shoots way up. Because you understand the stakes. This is not all we have. This is temporary. This is the setup for eternity. That's the goal. And so your burden increases for the right things. The goal stops becoming having a successful, comfortable life, and it becomes setting yourself up for eternity and bringing other people with you. Because that's what Jesus died and rose again for. You are able to withstand much more difficulty in your life due to your proper understanding of what Jesus did, who you are to him, and your role in the world. Think about Paul, chained to a Roman soldier, bound to be beheaded in Rome before Caesar. And what is he doing? Well, he wasn't just writing letters to people. He was proclaiming the gospel. You can go back and you can look at other historical sources beyond the Bible, and they will tell you that Paul, because of him, because of the way that God used him, many people in Caesar's household were saved. Just because Paul ended up being executed, that didn't stop the gospel. Because the gospel doesn't end with you, and it doesn't end with me, and it doesn't end with Jonesville Baptist Church. The world can do what it wants to us. The gospel is Jesus Christ and him crucified and risen again, and our responsibility is to carry that forward no matter what happens to us. The second thing that Paul charged Timothy with having is having an enduring witness. He says, "What you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, commit to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." Graduates, seasoned adults, remember what you've learned from your Christian leaders and hold to it tightly. It's easy for us to go to church week after week after week, and it all kind of just starts to become a blur. It becomes something that we just do. But when you realize how much of a treasure this is, that God would leave us with this, and he would give us faithful leaders who are able to faithfully teach us the word so that we know what to do with it, how to read it, how to apply it, how to get it to other people, your life does change. The world has changed for the better because of your focus. Hold on to what you've learned tightly, and more than that, pass on what you have learned, both through your words and through your actions. Discipling other people is a high priority. There are a lot of Christians, and I have been around, not talking about our church in particular, I mean, as for what I have seen in my 10 years of ministry, there are a lot of Christians who are real happy to get fed. They're real happy to learn, but they're not real happy to give it to somebody else. And that's a problem, because that means that you are content with the gospel ending with yourself or ending with myself. It's a danger for anyone who's a Christian to get so infatuated with learning that they never want to teach it. And teaching doesn't always have to be standing in front of people giving a lesson. Oftentimes, it's just living life with people and casually passing on what you've learned, both through in the way that you act and you live out your Christian faith, and in the way that you speak to them and tell them about Jesus. You don't have to have a seminary degree. You don't have to be well-read. You just have to know the gospel. And you need to know how to live it out. And so consider, then, whether you will cling tightly to the gospel if the culture completely turns around on you. Because it will. All you have to do is just start looking around the world. Look at Canada. Pastors are being arrested every week just for preaching the gospel. There's a speaker that Identify Ministries is associated with that he can't give his testimony in Canada. It's illegal. And so what does he do? He travels to the United States to speak instead and share his testimony because he can't do it in his home country. It's Snowbird every year. They have a prayer chapel that you can go early in the morning or real late at night. And they consider it to be kind of a holy place. So you take off your shoes when you go inside, and it directs you how to pray for different things around the world. And one thing that stood out to me last year is they have a map of the world, and it's dry erase, and they can point the lost places of the world and the places that have a lot of churches that are well-reached and all of that. Canada, mostly lost. Our neighbors to the north. Are there churches there? Yeah, there are churches there. But they're either being shut down or the state is telling them what to believe. We're always just 10 years behind Canada. That's how things go. The one thing keeping us from being at the same pace as them is our Constitution. We have rights and beliefs that we can stand on. But it only slows it down. It's not a complete stop. We have to be strong. We have to believe this stuff so much that when the culture turns, we are fine with being persecuted. In fact, bring it on. Because when Christians are persecuted, that's really history. That's when the church flourishes. So that's the kind of attitude that we need to have. It's not, please, Lord, hold off the persecution another 5 to 10 years. It's like, Lord, if it's time, I'm ready, give it to me. We're taking the gospel to the streets no matter what it means. That's the Christian attitude. And that's the world we're going to be coming up against. And so either you're going to be ready for it or you're going to surrender. And there really isn't a black and white. You've got to decide, is your faith worth it? Would you be willing to stand alone for the sake of the gospel? To stand alone for the sake of the truth? Because pretty soon, we're going to look even more like the crazy ones. One story I like to read to my kids is, was it the Emperor's New Clothes? You guys remember that one? The story goes where this con man goes before the emperor, and he starts offering the emperor the finest clothes that have ever been made, and he starts showing the emperor the clothes, and there's nothing there, but the emperor pretends like there's something there because he's convinced that maybe he's just a little bit crazy. And so he tries on the clothes and starts talking about how beautiful the clothes are, and his aides come in and his assistants, and the emperor's naked, y'all, all right? But they start telling him how beautiful his new robes are, and the con man's just counting his dollars. And eventually, everyone in the kingdom is so convinced that they must be the crazy ones because they don't see anything, but it's the emperor. If they don't say anything nice, they're going to get killed. So the emperor has this huge parade, and he rides on the horse all through the kingdom, showing off his new clothes. The con man takes off with the money, and the only one willing to stand for the truth is a little child who says, Mommy, why is the emperor naked? Y'all, we have to point out the truth for what it is, even if the rest of society is convinced about something that is not true. We have to be willing to stand for that truth. And that requires real conviction. The next thing that Paul teaches Timothy here is he charges Timothy to have an enduring motivation. He says, share in suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No one serving as a soldier gets entangled in the concerns of civilian life. He seeks to please the commanding officer. Also, if anyone competes as an athlete, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. The hardworking farmer ought to be the first to get a share of the crops. So consider what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything. Charles Spurgeon said, there are men who are just soldiers and nothing more. They only need sufficient temptation, and they readily become cowardly, idle, useless, and worthless. But he is the good soldier who is the bravest of the brave, courageous at all times, who is zealous, does his duty with heart and earnestness. He is the good soldier of Jesus Christ, who through grace aims to make himself as able to serve his Lord as shall be possible. who tries to grow in grace and to be perfected in every good and work, that he may be in his master's battles fit for the roughest and sternest service and ready to bear the very brunt of the fray. A good soldier, a soldier ready for battle, one ready for conflict, one motivated and convicted to do the work, not a spectator. We should be completely focused on pleasing Jesus in this way out of a grateful heart and a dutiful attitude, willing to set aside everything else in our lives that matter to us for the sake of the gospel. So we don't take shortcuts in our faith. We don't take rest from our faith. This week in the news, I heard about a woman who had been training for months for this marathon, and she flew overseas to get there. And halfway through the marathon, her legs just kind of give out on her. And so this car comes by, and it's one of her friends, and she gets a ride, and they start driving, and it's the parade route, right? It's the marathon route. They get to the next checkpoint, and the lady says, the runner says, "You know what? I feel pretty good again." What does she do? She gets out of the car, and she keeps running. And she tries to fake it. Well, they have GPS on their runners now, and they clocked her at 35 miles an hour going down the marathon. Think about what she went through here, okay? She flew overseas, paid all this money to do this marathon, and then she cheats. She tries to take a shortcut. What does she do? She tried to pass it off like she did it. 35 miles an hour is pretty fast. They caught her. But is that the kind of Christian you are? Is that the kind of Christian I am? Where we look good for parts of the race, but we take shortcuts when we think no one's looking. To make it seem like we're better than we are. We have to make sure that we are not those kinds of people. That we are acting out of true conviction and motivation. And if we are acting out of those things, and our goal is God and the gospel every step of the way, no matter what sacrifices we have to make, that also says that we need to be satisfied with the victories and the rewards that God provides along the way. Oftentimes, those rewards, those victories, are not the things that when we set out in life that we had thought we wanted. Usually they're better, but we don't see that right away. And we need to understand from the outset as we move forward in life that those rewards, those victories, are just down payments for eternity. And they are worth the pain and the sacrifice that it takes to be a believer in Jesus. The next thing that Paul charged Timothy with was to keep to the enduring word of God. The 8th verse says, "Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead and descended from David according to my gospel, for which I suffer to the point of being bound like a criminal. But the word of God is not bound." The gospel is not complicated. Like we said at the beginning, you know, love God and love people. That's not complicated. What Jesus did on the cross explaining that, most people can understand that. What they don't understand is why they need it. But the gospel, it has the power to save lives. And when people don't understand why they need it, tell them your story. Tell them how Jesus saved you. You need to tell that story to yourself every day. Don't forget it. Don't let it be just another chapter of your life. Let it be your life. Because no matter what happens to us, it is for the salvation of other people that we live. This brings glory to God that many would be saved. He could just shut it all down right now. But there are too many other people out there who don't have the good news yet. And God has chosen his church. He's chosen us to get it to them. More than just raising our children up in the faith, actively bringing the lost to the Savior. I mean, bringing our kids to the faith, right? That should be like the minimum, right? At least doing our part to make sure our kids know the truth. What takes more courage is to step out of your family circle, out of your area of normal influence, and give people the gospel where it's uncomfortable, and then not backing down. There are a lot of conservatives today who do back down. I don't know if he's a Christian. You know, probably not. Back in the day, he was in a band that churches would acronym their name, Knights in Satan's Service. But Paul Stanley, this last week, one of the singers of the band Kiss, he came out and started talking about how ridiculous it is the parents would be willing to trans their kids, and how that's dangerous to children, and we should not support these things. But as soon as he got the littlest bit of resistance, he talked about how people should honor their lived experience, and that we should not get in the way of those who have had traumatic things. We should allow people with gender dysphoria to just pursue the other gender that they think that they are. We can't afford that kind of behavior. We cannot back down. If you know what the truth is, if you hear someone coming against the truth, you don't just go, well, that's your story. I guess that's your truth. No. No, we address it head on. Because these people, they can't be living by lies anymore. And if there's something that we can do, we speak the truth in love. And God's word, I love it when Paul says, it is not bound. Just because Paul was in chains, that doesn't mean the gospel was in chains. Just because the church is in trouble in Western society, it doesn't mean that God is in trouble. And so we must stand our ground. The word of God will never pass away. It cannot be restrained by any person, any power, no matter what happens. In countries like China, where the government is rewriting the Bible, they have set up state churches where President Xi, his picture is where Jesus used to be in the church. That stuff, it exists in our world. We live in a nice protected bubble where we are free to read our Bibles and come together. And we don't experience the same kinds of persecution that other places do. But we have the time to prepare because we don't know what's next. Only God does. But we have a faithful Lord who will make sure that his word and his church endures. And the last thing that Paul charges with Timothy in this passage is to remember the enduring faithfulness of God. He says, "This is why I endure all things for the elect, so that they also may obtain salvation, which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. This saying is trustworthy, for if we died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself." A lot of scholars think that that little phrasing right there, if you look in your Bibles, it's kind of set off to a different alignment. They think that this was a hymn that Paul wrote for the early church. The people would actually sing this together. Obviously, it doesn't sound as good in our language, but back then, it all worked. And it was a reminder to stand. And the penalty for those who, given hardship and trouble, what would happen to them if they didn't stand? James liked to talk about faith without works is dead. We come to faith, and by faith we have salvation, but the works are proof of that salvation. The fact that we stand at all is proof that we have been saved by faith. And I challenge you, take stock of your life. Are you standing for Jesus? Are you standing on the truth? Do you have that fruit in your life? Because by that fruit, more than just a simple prayer you said that when you're a child, by that fruit, we can have full assurance and confidence in our salvation. Because those who claim Jesus in their words, but deny him with their actions, in truth, they're not saved. Because it's not just some magic phrase that we say that gets us to heaven, but it is real transformation of the heart. Belief, as the Bible talks about it, is not just intellectual, but it's everything about you. It's physical, it's behavior, it's all of it. You are not the same person you used to be. We are not saved by our works. Don't hear that this morning. We are saved by faith, but we are saved unto works. We are saved unto a conviction for Jesus. And Christian living flows out of a heart for Jesus. And if that's the truth, if that is who you are, it should be seen and noticed by everyone, regardless of the consequences. And we can have faith that God is faithful. He never gives up on his children. Should any of us who are Christians stray from what is right, right, he will discipline us and guide us back into the truth. So, what do we do with this morning? Here's my charge to you. Graduates, church, stay the course. Endure. Remember that God is right there with you. And 10 years from now, we might revisit this and see, where are we? Have we stayed consistent in the faith? Where's our country come in all that time? Graduates, you've each been at Jonesville long enough to know how much we care for you, and we pray for you, and we pray for you probably more than you think. And God will be with you wherever you go, yet my prayer is that you will choose to be with him wherever he leads you. As I said earlier, we have difficulties dealing with racism and abortion and euthanasia and same-sex and trans ideologies, and it's all just piling on. But the truth of the gospel just doesn't change. And the family that we have here at Jonesville is strong. So don't quit following Jesus when life gets difficult, because it will get difficult. And don't quit following Jesus either when life gets really good, because you haven't made it yet. None of us have. God will give you the strength, the motivation, the witness, his word, and his perfect faithfulness as you authentically die to yourself every day. So pattern your thoughts and behaviors after Scripture and keep God's words close to your heart. As you start life as an adult, choose to endure to the end no matter what happens along the way, because we have a Savior who is righteous, loving, true, and he cares deeply about you. As our band comes up, our altar will be open for those who need to pray, anyone who would like to join the church this morning, or if there's just something you need to get off your chest, I'll be up here. But let's stand together as we pray. God, thank you for your word that doesn't ever fail. Thank you for your perfect faithfulness, and for the word that you've given us that is not bound by humanity. Anything that we could do to try to stop it, Lord, we thank you that your word is an unstoppable force. Lord, as your family, as Christians, help us to cling to it tightly, to remember it, to speak the truth even when it's difficult, to live as a Christian even when it means persecution, but to stand strong in a culture that desperately needs the truth and has no idea what it is. Help us to be convicted and resolved to do what's right. and to stay the course. In Jesus' name, amen.